Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Body and the Beast podcast. Coming straight into your ears for the next few hours are your awesome hosts, Dan Meredith and Jamie Alderton.
Hello, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Body and the Beast. I am your body, Jamie Alderton.
And it's me, Dan Meredith, the Beast.
Dan, how are you? Where did that come from?
Right. Obviously, we've said this on previous podcasts before. It's usually Jamie fucking with me just before we go live. But we were commenting on an individual and then we were just having a laugh about some of the things that they said. They're not a bad person. Just, you know, we weren't being bitches, but it's just they can be quite controversial for controversial sake. And I just said they just reminded me a little bit of Waluigi. And I just spent the last couple of minutes doing Waluigi impressions of them. So I thought I'd start. And I pretty much nailed him, didn't I?
You nailed him, to be honest. Yeah. Yeah, pretty good.
Look at my sports car. I'm a saxophone. Me, me, me.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Sorry. If the business mentoring doesn't work, then you know where you're.
Yeah, shit character acting.
Yeah, there you go. So, Miss Meredith, what on earth are we talking about today?
What if I could stop? Do you know what? I've got to say this. Waluigi is a massively underrated character. He is without a doubt my favourite. I played Mario Party the other week and Waluigi is fun. But anyway, we'll get off that now because it has nothing to do with this podcast. And actually has anything to do with a memory that appeared whilst I was away with my family in Centre Parks last week. And that is the concept of risk. So 8 years ago, give or take now-ish, I decided to do something. So probably 8 years, and honestly, it was 8 years and 5.5 weeks, if you want to be specific. So 5.5 weeks prior to the 8-year milestone, I decided to take a risk. And the idea formulated on a mountain in Utah at a mastermind when I was pissed, when I still used to drink. And the idea was to put on one of the biggest events in the UK in the marketing, business, mentoring, entrepreneurship space, book at the time, probably the most, you know, hot speaker, who is Gary Vee, and fill a boxing venue called York Hall with 1,000 people, in 5 weeks from scratch. And I also decided to launch my membership site, Espresso with Dan, and write How to Be Fucking Awesome. And I did all of that in 5 and a bit weeks from start to finish. And it was without a doubt the biggest risk slash gamble that I took. But if I hadn't have taken that risk, I wouldn't be talking to you now. We wouldn't be doing this podcast. There's so many things that I would not be doing. And I've realized lately, you know, obviously, you know, we grow and we change and evolve. And as you get a little bit more comfortable and a bit more successful, you know, taking risks is risky because you think, what if it all goes fucking wrong? What if it all goes completely tits up? What if I fail? All this kind of stuff. But then I remember back to the good days back then, not that today's aren't the good days, of course, and think I took a massive swing of the bat with absolutely no idea if it was going to work, how it was going to be perceived, if I could even do any of the stuff that I did. None of the stuff that I did, I'd done before. Never written a book, never put on a big event, never launched a membership site. Never done those three things before. And they changed my life. But that is off the back of risk. And leveraging risk and taking risks and being able to take risks is a huge part of growth, entrepreneurship, success, and honestly, life. And I thought it would be a really good topic today to talk about, especially with your background, you know, obviously in the military, having to take risks on a daily basis and being able to manage that and kind of still perform at the level you did, plus the own risk you've taken in your life with the various challenges and things you've done. So I thought today would be a good topic to talk about risk, how to use risk, why you should be risking every now and then, and how to kind of deal with the kind of, I don't know if after effects is the right term, but the kind of like the feelings you get when you take a risk would be really useful because, you know, I have little mantras I say to myself. And one of the ones that I've said to myself for a while now is nothing changes if nothing changes. Hence, I'm making some changes, and it's risky, and I have to, I've had to come up with some mental models and strategies to stop the little voice in my head telling me not to do it, which I will share. And yeah, that's the topic of today's podcast.
So when it comes to taking a risk, and I think this is super, super important, it's understanding what the consequences will be if it doesn't work out. Because a lot of the things that happen in your head versus what actually happens is very, very different. You know, like if it didn't work out, you'll be fine. I think we've spoken about this before about, you know, like quitting your job, going and doing something else. And a lot of the reasons that you think that that's risky is if it doesn't work, that you're not going to have a job. When in actual fact, you would have a high possibility of either getting that job back or getting a similar job that's probably better paid when, you know, if it didn't work out. So a lot of the thing that stops us from taking these risks is this fear of failure, fear of, you know, if it doesn't work, we're going to somehow just end up at homeless and, you know, on a park bench, so to speak. And this is just the default narrative for our brains. And of course, it's always going to be circumstantial, you know, taking risks when you have people who are dependent on you to have a roof over their head and to, you know, to have food on the table, then of course you're not able to take as many like big risks as somebody who doesn't have that. If you don't have that, then what the fuck are you doing? Take as many risks as you can. And especially if you're younger, you know, take even more risks and don't worry about that fear, because the chances are it won't work out, but you'll learn something along the way. And when you said that, it instantly reminded me of something that will always stick to me. That Ross Edgley said when he swam around the entire UK. Because, of course, swimming around the entire UK is risky because no one's ever done it before.
It's also mental, especially when you're built like a brick shit house as well. I mean, nothing about that man makes any sense. It shouldn't work.
Yeah. But one of the things that he said is that you have to be naive to start and stubborn to finish. Mm. And I think that says a lot about a lot of things, because if I knew the shit that I'd have had to dealt with doing certain things in my life, I would never would have started them. You have to be naive going into these things, but you need to be a person of your word, that when you say you're going to do something, you fucking do it. And it's not of, oh, this is hard. It's like, yeah, right, you've bit off more than you can chew. How can we guarantee that this is a success? And I've done it lots of times with, you know, starting businesses. I've done this a lot of time with doing, you know, crazy charity events, one of which I'm also planning for next year now, which is scaring the shit out of me.
You haven't told me this. Is this for public consumption yet, or is this just something?
I've told my team.
Okay.
But I won't be announcing it yet. I will tell you what it is after this, and when it gets a little bit closer.
I thought it had been a while since you'd done something mental.
It's been 5 years. 2019, 20. Yeah, so it'll be next year. It'll be 2025. So 6 years almost. And it will be, you know, I wanted to do something crazy for my 40th. So
you are.
It gives me a great reason, and of course, not only is it going to be the biggest, charity event that I've ever done, and the most difficult, it's also aiming to raise the most that I've ever raised before as well. So that is, you know, big targets there as well. So it does scare the life out.
Do
of
you
me,
know what, mate?
That is exactly why I'm doing it.
That is wonderful, and you're a good human, and you've raised a lot of money for charity. I'm just going to sort of share something maybe a little bit fun for people behind the scenes. Like, we get lovely messages. We really appreciate your support. You know, we do this for you. You know, it's obviously a little bit of live therapy for me and Jay to share some of the things we're talking about, but we do this for you. But I will say, having Jamie as a friend, as good a friend as he is, loyal a friend as he is, as much as he's been there for me, it's kind of, if you've got a friend like Jay, it's quite exhausting, because you'll think to yourself, cool, I'm working hard, I'm doing well. and then he fucking turns up and jumps up a mountain or something for a weekend. And you're just like, you don't really have many excuses not to do stuff. And you'll say like, oh yeah, I worked a really long day yesterday, put in 16 hours, and Jay's, I don't know, swum backwards up a waterfall or something, or whatever ridiculous thing he's doing next. And I'm just like, yeah. So I will say, get yourself a good friend like Jamie, but be prepared to be humbled with any of the things you do. Because no matter how hard you try, I'm still drawn back to that fucking video you got your wife to record for me just to troll me. You dick.
Yeah, and it's just kind of thing like, it's that itch has been in there for a while. And, you know, this is talking about risk because, you know, you've got to weigh up a lot of things, because when you're training for something like this, I mean, when I was training for something before, it takes up a lot of your time, which means that you have to sacrifice other things, and there's a lot of pressure in that and everything else. And, you know, you ask yourself time and time, why the fuck do I keep doing these things? And it's just like, because you can. And, you know, when we think about, and if you're listening to this, I want you to think about the things that you want to do, but you're worried that they're risky. You need to understand that if you do not go after these things, you'll never have them. I'm literally looking to the right-hand side of my office now, and there's three quotes that as I walk into my door every time into my studio, I see it says, if you do not go after what you want, you'll never have it. If you do not ask, the answer will always be no. And if you do not step forward, you'll always be in the same place. And, you know, and the most important thing that I'm thinking of is I want some epic war stories to tell my grandkids. And, you know, I don't want to be that person who, you know, is the down the pub, oh, you know, when I was your age, or I attempted that, or I did that, or
I used to be's.
Yeah. And, you know, I see this a lot of people in their 40s. I was like, they're like, I used to do that. Oh, I, you know, 10 years ago I did that. So why are you doing it now? Oh, you know, and I'm like, fucking hell, you know, you're only 40 years of age. And, you know, like, I'm 40 next year, and I think I'm just starting to work into, you know, a lot of people think that you peak physically at about 30 to 35. And of course, a lot of the reasons that people have that is because they look at people like UFC fighters and footballers, because they start very early, and they normally kind of retire 35, 40. But, you know, that's retiring from getting punched in the face. And of course, you know, football is more of a kind of a young man's game.
Mate, but that just reminds me of a meme. Sorry, I'm going to have to say it, because it's just like, you put it, you know, you nailed it there. Because, I mean, I'm 43, 44 this year. And I'd say sort of 41 is where things started to really trend up, like physically, mentally. I was doing well, but everything, you know, as a person, I really feel like I've come into my own in the last sort of 2 to 3 years, like really aggressively. And but it just reminded me of some of the sports analogy, because it's like, you know, you're saying about people, you know, the physical peak and stuff. I remember just seeing this. It was like a meme that just said, look at this guy. He's an absolute warrior, still playing professional sport at 36. You're like, 30 fucking six. I'd give anything to be back at 36. I had my own fucking joints back then.
Yeah. And but one of the things that people don't consider or think about is when you kind of get, you know, between that kind of 38 to 44, you are probably meant, you know, for people who've been training a long time, you're at your mental peak, because you've gone through a lot more shit than some 20 something has. You've, you know, got over it, and you're just able to mentally apply yourself to harder things. And of course, that's not the same for everybody, but for me, what I found is as I've got older, yeah, I might not be as strong in the gym, and you know, compared to when I was in my 20s, but I could easily get back to that. But mentally, I'm twice as strong. I've got, and I've tested that time and time again, so I'm able to apply myself a lot better as I've got older. And a lot of things that you do in life, not just physical, but you know, pushing yourself, it's all a mental game. It's all about, you know, you always roll your eyes, but
no, not at all. I was actually totally agreeing with you then, because as soon as you said it, it just reminded me of what I've been doing for the last few months. So no, I'm with you this month.
Yeah, I mean with regard, roll your eyes with regards to quotes that I use all the time and mental models. And they're basically frameworks for my head to try and compartmentalize things that I'm doing. And, you know, it's so important to have those frameworks in your head when taking risk, when doing difficult things, because your brain is set up to keep you nice and safe.
Yeah.
And the trouble with your brain being set up to keep you nice and safe is it likes warmth, it likes familiarity, it likes certainty. And do you know what's funny about that?
What's that?
In order to grow and become successful, you need the exact opposite of that. You need discomfort, you need uncertainty, you know, and it's then really understanding that you have to do the opposite of what your brain wants you to do. Mm. And that's so when you're thinking of risk, you're thinking of, well, what, you know, what if people laugh at me? What if I don't do it? What if I end up out on the street? And you need to write this shit down. You need to write what's stopping you, because 99% of people, and we probably say this nearly every single podcast, 99% of people do not write shit down. Mm. And it's a big difference from getting in your head, you know, over and over again, to then finally getting it down on a piece of paper and actually realizing that the things that you've been telling yourself for months or even years is bollocks.
Mate, it's so funny you should say that, because there's two things. The first thing is, just as you said that, I did a little exercise over the weekend, and I invite all of you to do this. Like, you can come up with your own versions, and I literally just minimized my screen so I could see it. It's in the top left-hand corner of my screen. It says POD, and it's short for Plan ODAM. So that's what it was. So I realized there are some areas that I really wanted to work on. There's some things that I hadn't done, some things that I'd let slip, some things that were working really well, some things that I enjoyed. So basically lots of stuff going on in my head. So I've literally got on the top left of my screen, got five documents. So areas to work on, what I do and don't want to do, which is my hate/love list, what I can control, business and personal ideas for the future, and productivity and optimizing time. So I broke it down into five areas that were really, I'm literally looking at them right now. I'm going to get my screen back up again because I'll stay distracted. But I did that because there was all these things swirling around in my head. I know I can influence them. I know I can change them. I know there's some things that I'm really fucking loving right now. There's equally some things that I'm just not enjoying anymore. And there's some things that I want to do, and there's some things that I want to achieve, but they just were staying in my head. So again, we can't be telling people to do stuff we don't do ourselves. So it took me, I reckon, about 3 hours first time to get it all out of my head, like back and forward. Then I went for a walk and put another 2 hours. So it's probably like 5 hours over my weekend I spent on that. And off the back of that, I have had a really productive week, because I know I don't have to think. It's there. It's written down. My brain, I've taken it from my brain and put it onto paper. Had a conversation with my team, had a chat with my mentor, had a chat with a couple of clients I work with, and just, and honestly, had a conversation with myself as well, and was just like, right, what do you actually want to do? What do you not want to do? That was the most important one I did. And just tweaked my diary. I tweaked what time I get up, what time I go to bed, what I do beforehand and stuff. And as we were saying, you said a moment ago about the, it's the mental side of things that often holds people back from taking a risk. So I'm very aware of what my brain does. And it sounds stupid because we are our brain, but I almost see my brain and me as two separate entities. And it's like, it's, I often feel it's myself versus my brain, which doesn't really make any sense, but I'm sure some of you listen will identify. So I know when I'm about to take risks, my brain is screaming at me not to do anything. Don't change anything. Don't start. It doesn't want me to do anything different. It doesn't want me to do a thing. It just wants me to stay as is, because that's safe. So I used to have, so when I was growing the first time, do not agree with this at all. Obviously, it's up to you if to drink. That was what I used to, when my brain used to start telling me, you can't do this, you're going to fail, if it's going wrong, I'd be like, ha ha, you lump of grey fuck, I'm going to knock you out with vodka. Not the smartest or healthiest of idea. So now, because the way my structure is, I get my core work done first thing in the morning. I, as soon as I wake up, I mean, I know you have your ice bath. I live in a penthouse. It's very, very nice, but there isn't, you know, I don't have a garden. So I did the cold plunge with you. I really like that. But I thought, right, the cold showers and all that kind of stuff was quite good. But you aren't going to get me first thing to do that. As much as I've tried, I'm not going to do it. But as soon as I wake up, I've got Peloton in my bedroom. I just jump on the bike. I literally have my shorts, socks, and you know the clip-ons laid out, ready to go. And I just clip it. I literally on press, start pedaling straight away. Straight on with the music, because if I give my brain any time, it will start to try and talk me out of A, doing that, and B, it will try and sabotage me, because I know I'm pushing through discomfort right now in a very positive way. Like, it's all good. It's conscious, chosen discomfort. So I have to consciously say to my brain, ha, not going to let you fucking beat me, shithead. I'm already doing something. And before I know it, I've started the wheels in motion. Then I do that, then I have my cold shower, then I'm doing my day plan, then I roll into work and I haven't let any negative thoughts or loops take hold, because if they do, I'm fucked. So that's something I've had to do for myself. What do you have for your version? I know you obviously have your very strict morning routine, but what do you do when your brain decides to play silly bollocks?
You mean pretty much every day?
Yeah. What'd you do?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think one of the things is just to be being aware of the state that I'm in. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is normally when I've got a shitload of things to do, that's when I procrastinate the most. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting because then I will gravitate towards some easy things. And weirdly, I think some people would prefer to do this, but weirdly I gravitate towards editing videos, which sounds like it's super productive, but when you've got other things that you've got to do, not so much. Mm. It's just like something I find very therapeutic, which is very fortunate because it works well within my business. But I need to remind myself, and one of the things that I do is just I hold myself accountable. So one of the things that's really helped me this year is been doing my weekly vlogs. Mm. And I do them on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And that means I pretty much can guarantee that I'll get all of my routines done because I'm recording it and people are expecting it. You know, I took a week off doing the vlogs when I had a launch. And once again, people messaged me going, hey, where's the vlogs? Which is nice because there's this expectation for them. Mm. But, you know, the vlogs could be much better. You know, I could put a lot more effort into editing them. I could create better storylines. You know, there are many, many better vlogs out there. Mm. But I do them for me. I do them to document things. And I've always been a documenter for my own accountability, which happens to be beneficial to other people. I mean, I started back in 2011, 2012. Yeah, I think it was around that time. Started vlogging. You know, I started doing weekly vlogs. Then when I was getting ready for things like my shows, I'd be doing like daily vlogs of my gym and my nutrition. And I've just always done it because it's enabled me to achieve things that I didn't even imagine I could, because you're looking at yourself as a third party. And this is how I've been able to do stuff, because there's a massive difference between doing something and teaching somebody else. And when you have to teach somebody else something, you learn it at a deeper level. And one of the things that I found with like nutrition was sticking up a spreadsheet, going live and talking through the spreadsheet, like why I decided to do that, why that change, why this, mm-hmm. enabled me to have a more rational mind behind the how and the why, because I had to explain it to other people as opposed to trying to convince it for myself. If that makes sense. So it's kind of calling out your own bullshit with things. And it's this kind of thing where let's just say I'm not vlogging on a Tuesday and I don't do the cold plunge. I'm spending all this time in my head coming up with ways that if somebody asks me on social media, I can come up with a great excuse. And there's me sitting there doing this mental work for 5 to 10 minutes. And then I just stop for a minute and go, or you could get in a fucking cold plunge. Because you're spending so much time and energy making excuses about it when in actual fact it takes less time to actually fucking do it. Accountability has been a massive thing for me. And there's a thing that's going around on the internet and I'm not quite sure I agree with it. And I get it. But one of the things that somebody says is if you're going to have goals, that you shouldn't tell anyone. And the reason behind it, the scientific reason behind it is when you tell other people what you're looking to achieve, you get a dopamine release as if you've actually already achieved it, which means that you're less likely to achieve it. And I'm like, well, it depends on the person that you are. If you're known as that person who just talks shit all the time and says they're going to do stuff and doesn't do it, then yeah. But if you're a person who actually, when they say they're going to do stuff, pretty much people know you're going to do it. And you're a person who says, you know, very much like myself, if I say I'm going to fucking do something, I'm going to fucking do it. So for me, telling other people to do it, I can hold myself super accountable. And this will really help you overcome risk as well. Because when you start telling other people about those things, there's a few things that happen. If you have the right support of people around you, they just, you know, like I told a couple of people the thing that I'm looking to do next year, mm-hmm. big risk. And they're like, you mad bastard, can't wait to watch it. It's not, you will not do that. That's stupid. There's no way you're going to do that. They know me. So they're just like, yeah, that's just crazy. So
yeah. And as soon as you tell me after this, I'll say that, because it's like, I've also witnessed everything you've ever done since I've known you, and you've never not done it. So I'll just go, you're probably the same. It's like, that's fucking mental. Why? And then go, see you at the end. Like I always do.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, risk is all about what you believe it as risk in your head. It reminds me of actually of something that Richard Branson said, because, you know, Richard Branson, billionaire, people say, you know, he takes a lot of risk, but in actual fact, he doesn't. You know, a big risk for him in one of his books, he said, was to, of course, probably the most difficult business ever to run is an airline. And of course, he built and he started Virgin Airlines, and he had a couple of Boeing 747 mm-hmm. jets. Now, those things are not fucking cheap. You know, you're looking at 40-odd million each one. But people think, well, that's a massive risk. And it wasn't, because he had an agreement with Boeing for 6 months that if he didn't get the business off the ground, that they would be okay to buy the jets back. So he has a contingency plan for things. And this is the most important thing about, you know, risk, is that plan it fucking out. Don't just wing it. You know, it's a massive, massive risk if you just go, I'm going to do this and I'll figure it out as we go along. Most of the things that you are looking to do, somebody else has already done. And actually, the more people that you speak to and the more planning that you put into it, added with that naivety and stubbornness, will equate to your success.
Yeah. And you know what? I think I've seen the same bit of content going around and stuff, and it's like there's that whole, you know, usually with some picture of a chap looking moody, like, work on your goals in silence and destroy them, fuck off, your motivational wanky bullshit twat, shared by generally middle-aged,
disappear for 6 months, disappear, and be a different person,
be a different man. alpha male,
because I'm gonna win.
I'm an alpha male. I'm a bigger boy.
Shut up, you knobs. Sorry, you know exactly the sort of shit I'm talking about with those accounts. But equally, you can identify as whatever you want to do. So if you want to be an alpha male, you fill your big boy boots. But that aside, you know, if I keep... I like to keep some things to myself, like things I'm going to work on. There's a couple of little projects that, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to work on that. Mainly because, like, it's sometimes nice just to have things you have for you. Certain, you know, not everything has to be monetized. Not everything has to be posted on the internet. Sometimes it can just be, I want to do that thing, and I'm going to do that thing by this time. I want to see what I can do. Cool. That's great. But if it's something bigger, I'm like you. I need to tell people. I need to make it a little bit more public. I need to let it be known. Because and honestly, mate, I often need to put some money behind it. So if there's no, how can I put this, like, penalty or issue if I don't do it, I can often let it linger. Whereas, you know, much like we've done with our events recently and launches with things, if we, you know, we have to sell the seats, we have to build the assets, we have to create the products, we have to do the things. Otherwise, we just wasted a shit ton of money. You know, I've spent lots of money on, you know, on my new book, on proofreaders, on editors, on, you know, getting people to come down and read it, design, all that kind of stuff as well. Plus, you know, the cost of my own time, you know, reading and writing and learning things and putting stuff in it. I know you've probably gone through the same thing. But if I put all that effort and money and time in, then just don't put it out there, It was a fucking waste of time. And I had some certain milestones I wanted. I wanted an event by the start of Q2, which I've done. And I want the book out by my birthday. So that's the middle of June. 2 months from now, the book is written. I'd had conversations with publishers that were going very positive, but I just can't be fucked to wait anymore. And we can always pick those conversations up later. So I'm just going to go ahead and launch it regardless. Because if I don't, I'm going to be sat here in this kind of what if zone. And it will just be lingering. It's, you know, it's sat. I can, again, see it live on my laptop from a recording right now. It is in the top right-hand corner. There is the book. It is there. What use is that to the fucking world on my laptop? Absolutely none. And if I hadn't taken that risk 8 years and 5.5 weeks ago, probably those of you listening wouldn't be listening to me now. I wouldn't have, you know, impacted hundreds of thousands of lives, changed the direction of probably tens of thousands of lives. And equally, you know, as I've mentioned on a podcast before, there's a few people whose lives have been, you know, dramatically altered, changed, saved. They're still here because something in that book resonated with them and made them go, no, I don't want to do this anymore. Or yes, I do want to be here. Or do you know what? My life isn't over. I still make some changes and do things. That's the power of taking a risk. Not only, so yeah, of course, I was compensated, you know, socially, status-wise, financially, of course. You know, you sell that many books, you do well off the back of it. I'm not going to lie and say I didn't. But, and this may sound a little bit, you kind of, may sound a bit false, to be honest with you. But the thing, you know, for all of those wonderful things, and I'm beyond grateful for them, the thing that still lights me up to this day is when somebody messages me and says that the book meant something to them, or they've made these changes, or they've done something different, or it's inspired them to, you know, quit their job or start a new job or improve themselves in some way. And you can believe me or not, but genuinely, that's the stuff that keeps me going. That's the stuff that makes me think, do you know what? There are days where I don't want to show up and I don't want to do these things. And honestly, I just want to sit in my pants and watch sci-fi and eat pizza and probably wank. That's it. That's all I want to do. Okay? But I don't. I mean, I do those some days. It's a little treat for me every now and then. But listen, what's the point in having your own business if you can't every now and then have a day off to watch some space opera, enjoy some home-delivered pizza, and crack one off every now and then?
What the fuck is space opera?
Well, that's how I call it. It's like cinematic opera. It's like storytelling in space, sci-fi, but I call it space opera. It's like multi-series. I don't mind sharing this. Any of you listening, if you're not sci-fi fans, don't care because I'm going to tell you about it anyway. Watched a series on Amazon called The Expanse. It's the best series I've seen. It's like Game of Thrones in space. It's brilliant. Each series has a different theme. One's more political, one's more relationships, one's more, I don't know how to describe it. You have to watch it. It's fucking fantastic. And then I bought the 9 volumes that the series is based on, and I'm currently working my way through them. So if you like sci-fi, you haven't watched The Expanse, watch it. It's amazing. I like sci-fi. I really like sci-fi.
So...
sorry, yeah. I don't even care. Do you know what? There's another thing about getting a little bit older, right? And if those of you who are listening who are a bit younger, you won't know this until you get here. For those of you who are sort of our age or a bit older, you'll probably understand. As you get older, you really don't give a fuck quite so much about what other people think about the things you enjoy. I used to hide my love of my nerdy side and things like that. Now, I don't care. I'm an absolute massive diehard sci-fi and Warhammer fan. I think it's awesome. I personally would love to be a space marine, but that's probably not going to happen, which does make me sad a little bit some days because I think I'd really enjoy it. But again, circling back to the whole risk thing, again, you know, saying about, you know, things change as you get a little bit older. Like, honestly, if you take these risks, right, and you have, Jay mentioned it earlier, if you've got dependents, people who are relying on you, you have to have a plan. So, you know, getting a war chest, you know, getting some savings, looking at downsizing. I spoke to someone recently who has a very successful business. They need to push on to another level. So they have sold they've downsized their cars, they've sold, you know, they have had an investment property, they've sold that, they've basically liquidated a lot of cash, cut back on a few holidays and a few things. So they've literally pulled a lot of cash because they're about to go into a new stage of development just to be on the safe side. They've got a partner, they've got children, they're being sensible. So if you want to take a risk, you have to be sensible with that and mitigate what could go wrong. For me, this is something if I have too much of a safety net, I'm too safe. Does that make sense? It's like I almost need to have, you know, I don't want to fucking torpedo myself and be like, fuck, I can't make payroll, can't look after mum and sister, can't do all the things that I want to do. But it has to be a big enough risk that I will give it a good swing of the bat. So you, listener, have to decide the level of risk you want to take, what you're prepared to kind of, you know, do you want to go all in? Do you want to put a few chips in? Do you want to kind of sit this hand out and do the next one? You got to decide the level of risk you're prepared to play. But when I have taken big but calculated risks thus far, the majority of them have paid off because I didn't have any choice but them to work. Does that make sense? Because I'd gone, you know, for me, relatively all in. There wasn't a safety net. There wasn't an op. You know, there was money put aside in savings, and I made sure other people were safe. But I had to do it, and that for me is what, you know, moves my personal needles forward. And you know, you're going to be different. We're all going to be different. There's no right way or wrong way. Some of you might be completely risk averse, and you might think, do you know what, Dan, can't do that. But I can do an hour a day. I can slowly build things up. I can take my time, and that's cool. You can still take your time with taking a risk, but understand that the end result is going to be a lot further down the line. You can shortcut that process. Probably going to have to invest more time, more energy, more effort, more money, more risk. You have a chance of getting what you want sooner, but then you have to go through that terrible period where you've committed, you've dived in, and then it's not working. Because we all go through that period when your brain will be telling you, and probably, you know, partner, family, loved ones, friends, what the fuck are you doing? And it's up to you whether you stick or twist at that point.
Yeah, I always remember this quote, time, money, knowledge. And if you're lacking in one, you have to use the other two to get it. And it's a case of understanding that when you write down the thing that you want, you need to write down those three things. Do I have the time to do it? Do I have the money to do it? Do I have the knowledge to do it? And, you know, the first thing, of course, is that you need to be really, really aware of this, because if you do have the money, then that's great.
Yep.
Because, you know, it's a very driving factor, and it can actually shorten a lot of time. And especially when it comes to the knowledge thing, you can pay people to do it for you. You can pay people to speed up the process. If you're lacking time and money, but you have the knowledge, you can sell some of that knowledge to make money. And you're going to have to spend a bit of time, of course, on that to make that money. And when it comes to time, if you've got lots of time, but no money or skills, great, because you've got time and you've got time to work on the skills and make the money. So it's a very interesting thing when you look at it like that, because you need to be thinking about where your weak points are, where your strong points are, and how you can accelerate the success of this. Because there'll be somebody out there who has already achieved this thing, or has, you know, attempted this thing. And my first thing to reduce that risk down would be to start speaking to these people.
Find out what they did, study their journey, see how they did what they did. You know, success does leave clues. And you just gave me a little bit of thought there. And you mentioned it earlier on the podcast as well, is that whatever risk you decide to take, unless it's like your risk, you know, you're like doing something crazy like Jay, or maybe putting your body at risk and you haven't done it before, there's certain risks there. Obviously, I took a risk and got in the ring a year ago, didn't expect to break my leg, but I don't regret it because it got me on the track of the leanness and the fittest I am now, and rekindled my love for boxing. So I don't regret that risk. I'm still, if you'd have said to me, you know, my ankle's not, yeah, occasionally is a bit spicy, but would I take back, you know, my confidence, how I feel, the fact that my weight loss was fantastic and has stayed at that level? No, I would have said, you know what, give me an occasionally shitty ankle for feeling and operating as good as I did. That was a risk I was prepared to take. But something you've got to understand is if you do nothing, then obviously the worst can happen, okay? But if you take a risk, realistically, Most of the time, as again, as long as you don't do nothing. So if it goes wrong, so if it can go wrong, that's the thing with risk, it can go wrong. You're taking a risk. That's why it's called risk. As long as you do something after it goes wrong, you will be okay. You'll be okay. There'll be someone who'll be able to help you out. You'll be able to find more work. You'll be able to get up and going again. Things will be okay. At my event a couple of weeks ago, obviously my situation is different. Yes, I do, have a nice life. I do sort of have a team. I support, my mum and sister, that sort of thing. But if it all went tits up, I think I said on stage, if my life goes completely tits right now, I get to go back home, have my dinner cooked for me, and I don't have to hang up my own pants. Now, as a 43, nearly 44-year-old man with a beautiful partner and a, successful name, business, do I want to do that? Absolutely fucking not. But if I have to, it's not ideal, but it's also not that fucking bad as well. Okay. And as Jay mentioned earlier, your brain can often create scenarios and situations that are far worse. It's good, not very good grammar, but fuck it, than the actual reality. So sort of in closing from me, I want to say you can decide whether or not you want to take a risk, if you're ready to take a risk, if now is the right time for a risk. But if you've been steady, ticking along, things are maybe trending downwards a little bit, starting to show signs that this isn't working quite the way it used to, or you just haven't tested yourself, taken a chance, given things a go for a period of time, take some time, use some of the tools me and Jay spoke about today, choose your own adventure. That's the whole point of this podcast. You pick and choose what you want out of it and think to yourself, is now the time for me to take a risk? And if it is, like Jay said, do some planning, get your shit together, and honestly, set a deadline, tell some people, and go for it. Because honestly, either way, there's a whole new version of you on the other side of the risk. Either it didn't work, and you know what? That thing that you might have wanted to do for years, you're like, well, I tried it and it didn't work. So I can cross that off now. That is off my to-do list. I've been wanting to do that for X period of time. It's done now. You'll learn some lessons, you'll get some insights, and you will grow from it. It might be uncomfortable, it might be fucking embarrassing, it might be painful, whether financially or physically. Don't know. Depends what your risk is. But you'll have grown as a person. Or the other option is, it fucking worked. And that thing that you've been talking about and thinking about and wanting to do all these periods of over all these years is suddenly now your reality. If I hadn't have taken the risk, I wouldn't be talking to you now. So that's it from me.
Yeah, and I think you just perfectly summed up everything that I just said there as well, Dan, with writing things down, getting feedback from people who have been there, done that and got the t-shirt, structuring it out and being okay to fuck up and fail it. At least you can look back and say you tried. Mm. And another thing that you said there is like, it's one of the great things is there's lots of things on your to-do list with life, and you've went and attacked that and done it. It's ticked off your list, which means that you have more focus on other things that you want to do with your life. It's done. An example of me, my dream was to build a gym facility. That was my dream. That was my dream for years, and I did it. Box ticked. Did it work out? Was it a massive success? Well, it was and it wasn't. I learned so much from it. I did exactly what I set out to do. I created an incredible place. To this day, even the members that were there at the time said that was the best gym that I've ever been to and have ever been to since. And I'm very, very proud of that. Did it work out as a business? No. And I learned a hell of a lot along the way. And do I want to open up another gym? Fuck no. But, it's done now. The box is ticked and I'm very, very glad that I can look back and say that I did it and I'd do it all again. So super, super awesome episode.
Yeah, it's a good one today.
It's really good to talk about risk. And as always, ladies and gents, I really hope you enjoyed the Body and the Beast podcast today. And if you did, share it on your socials. Let us know. We love hearing from you. And give us a review if you haven't done already. We really appreciate that because it allows more people to see the podcast. But as always, ladies and gents, I have been your body, Jamie Alderton.
Wow. I have been your beast, Dan Meredith.
You're going to say take care.
Oh, take care.